Hey, my Bible, Brandon, right there beside you. Thank you. All right, be fine. The book of Ruth. The book of Ruth. If you're not sure where it's at, I'll give you a nice hint. It is the eighth book in the Bible. Eighth book in your Bible. The book of Ruth. Little book of Ruth. This book is named after the, of course, primary character that we're going to be talking about, Ruth. And it's a very, it's a powerful story in this book. We'll go through chapter 1 tonight only, try to get through chapter 1. We'll talk about going from disaster to destiny. From disaster to destiny. Just to give you a little bit of knowledge of Ruth, in just case you didn't know this, maybe you do know this. Ruth was the great-grandmother of David, King David, great-grandmother. So Ruth was also in the lineage of Christ, and we'll see a lot of that as we go through the chapter, the symbolism of Christ and the redemption that he did for us. Chapter 1, verse 1. It came to pass in the day when the judges ruled. This is before there was any kings in Israel. There were judges. And there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. Now, this is not a parable. This is an actual event that took place. I want to be clear on this. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of the wife, Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. They came to the country of Moab and continued there. So this was a family of Jewish people. A famine struck the land. We see two things happen here. I think it's interesting. When the famine struck, they left to go somewhere else instead of staying in God's promised land. There's times in our lives when famine strikes our lives, doesn't it? There's times when stuff hits our lives. And we don't forsake God during those times. We don't forsake his promises during those times. God is God all the time. And God is good all the time. And God is faithful all the time. And because we don't see God working in a season of our lives doesn't mean we abandon all we know to go try to find it somewhere else. And that's what happens to many people, is they don't find what they want in God here, so they just quit following God, or they go even to the other side to try to find it there. What Star Wars calls the dark side. I was watching part of The Empire Strikes Back last night. It was on TV. And there's a scene where Luke's fighting Darth Vader, and Darth Vader says, "I'm your father." And he says, "Son, join me on the dark side. You don't know the power of the dark side. You don't know what power you can have." Spiritually speaking, sometimes what happens, we don't see God jumping hoops like we want him to jump. And so we start maybe thinking, maybe our answer is in something else. Maybe it's found somewhere else. Maybe it's found in this thing, or in this thing, or in this relationship, or in this place, or if I do this, I'll find what I need. I'll find that peace that I need. And so we start dabbling with stuff that if we would just stay where God put us, we would see the salvation of God. We would see his provision. We would see his answer. We would see his healing. There's times we pray for things that we don't see them happen right away. Many times. In fact, there's more things we don't see right away, if we're honest, than we do see right away. But it doesn't mean that we abandon and forsake all that we've known, all that God has been, and all that God has shown us, and all that we are in him. We stay faithful. So here this family, when famine strikes, they leave and they go to Moab. Now Moab was named after Moab, who was the son of Lot. Now we know Lot was from a bad lot, right? He was not from the good seed. So this is a paganistic country. Once again, here is this Jewish family uprooting, going to a paganistic nation because there was a famine that rose up, so they forsook their land to go to the enemy camp and try to set up. But we're going to see out of this that God has a purpose out of this and a destiny out of this. Verse 3, and Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and had her two sons. So her husband's died, it's her and her two sons. So the sons took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah. The name of the other was Ruth, and they dwelt there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. So now both the sons have died. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. We're talking about within a 10-year period, she loses her husband and both her children. Naomi does. So now she is stuck with two daughter-in-laws. Verse 6. She arose with her daughter-in-laws that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. So she got the news Israel was back on the map, that God had blessed them. There was food back in the camp. The famine was gone. And she says, I'll go back to my native country. I'll go back to where I came from because I can't survive here in Moab without no husband, no sons. I can't make it. I got to go back to my people, go back to my family, go back to where I came from. So that was her plan. Verse 7, wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, her and her two daughter-in-laws were with her, and they went on their way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her two daughter-in-laws, and I think this was such a gracious act of love on Naomi's part. To me, what we're going to read here, to me, tells me where Naomi's heart was. That, remember, her husband had died, her two sons were gone. All she had was her two daughter-in-laws, and she loved them. But this verse tells us she was willing to let them go for the betterment of their life. Release them for the betterment of their life. She told them, says, go, because they were from Moab. They were Moabites. They weren't Jewish. Go, return to your mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with me and the dead and with me. And the Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, they lifted their voice, and they wept. Imagine this moment in time. Imagine this. Two daughter-in-laws is all she had. She kissed them both and says, look, you got a better chance of staying here with your family. This is where you belong. I'll go back on my own. I'll be okay. I'll make it. We see the heart of Naomi, such a heart of compassion and love. It wasn't about her. It wasn't being selfish. It wasn't about what I could gain. It truly was about letting them go. And you know, there's an old saying, right? We always hear, if you love someone, you let them go and they'll return. You know, you let them go, they'll return. You know, what? Okay, so y'all get the gist of it. But, you know, our last church sign, Shirley did before this one, I think it was the last one, it said, give your children roots to grow and wings to fly. And that's a powerful thing because a lot of us as parents, we give them roots to grow, we just let that root stay where it's at. We don't say, go plant yourself somewhere else. We don't give them the wings to fly. And what true love does, and, you know, it was hard with Christian at first a little bit when she went to Florida because we realized Florida may take her. We knew that. I mean, who wouldn't Florida take? Right? It's sunshine. It's Mickey Mouse. It's woo! I'm young and free and no commitments, you know? I can do what I want, live my life. It's wonderful. And it was a little bit hard at first to realize she's going to move down there. She could stay. But me and Ellen both have been so good with this, and we're like, you know what? If that's what she wants, and she's happy, that's what we want. And we really meant that. Our son the same way. I miss my son. I've not seen him in whatever, over a year now. And I miss him very much. But he's in a better place for him where he's at than where he would be right here now in his life. And I realize that. He is growing where he's at. He is maturing where he's at. He's in a better place. He has a better chance to succeed where he's at than where if he was still here. And so we're willing to let that go for the betterment of our children. And here is Naomi saying, especially, I mean, and this is no slight at all, but especially being a woman, you know, letting the support she, the only intimate family support she had left, letting them go. And saying, I'll be okay on my own. I'll do this. So the daughter-in-laws loved her too. You see that by the scripture. They wept. They didn't want to forsake her. Verse 10, they said to her, surely we will return with you and your people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, and go your way. For I'm too old to have a husband. If I should, If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would you tarry? Would you wait around till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having, would you stay for them from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sake that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. Naomi's saying, I can't give you any more than what I gave you. My chance from my womb, my chance of connecting you to my family, time's passed. It's over. My two sons are gone, and there's not another chance for that to happen again. Such an act of love and grace. They had lifted up their voices, and they wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. Ruth wouldn't let go. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back. Orpah went back unto her people and unto her gods. Return you after your sister-in-law. Naomi's still saying, go where your sister-in-law's at. Go, Orpah. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I will go. This verse gives me chills every time I read this. I want you to picture this scene of this daughter-in-law with Naomi. Now remember, this daughter-in-law grew up in Moab. She was a Moabitess. She didn't serve the God of the Hebrews. She didn't know the culture of Israel. She had grew, and all of her family and all of her roots were right there in Moab. Her roots were there. Her family was there. But look what she tells her mother-in-law. Wherever you go, I'll go. Wherever you lodgest, I'll lodge. Your people shall be. What she's really saying is your people will become my people. And your God, my God. What I notice in this verse is how God is stirring Ruth's heart, drawing her unto himself. She didn't grow up in a nation that worshiped the same God Naomi did. False gods, pagan gods. But yet she's saying, I'll make your God my God. She must have saw something in Naomi's life that spoke to her. This is why I think it's important that we live our lives. You know, church, we don't live our lives with good works and good deeds so we don't go to hell like everybody preaches. That's not why we do that. We live our lives with good works and with light to point others to our Father, to point others to who Jesus is. Because we are the walking testimony that the world sees. We are the light that carries the gospel. How does God still use the gospel? Through man. Even through technology. Someone's doing a video, it's man. Someone's typing a message, it's man. Someone's Snapchatting something, it's man. Social media is still all about man and what they input on it. So the gospel and the message of Jesus and who he is still the main carrier of that gospel is humanity. And they see that light. So I'm sitting there thinking, Ruth must have saw something in her mother-in-law. More than just being the mother of her dead husband. I think it was deeper than that. Because one turnaround went back. But Ruth didn't. Because God had a destiny for Ruth he didn't have for the other one. And God was positioning Ruth for greatness. And just like Abraham, Ruth was prepared to leave what she knew, the land she grew up in, all of her kinsmen, to go to a place she probably knew no one other than her mother-in-law, but was willing to make that sacrifice. I think the hand of God was doing a deeper work in her life, drawing her for a divine appointment. She had lost her husband. Bad deal. But what God was going to do in Ruth's life would far outweigh and outbless anything she had before. That's where we have to have that mentality. Lord, wherever you go, I'll go. Lord, wherever you abide, I'll abide. Lord, I will follow you and serve you whatever you want me to do. Because the world around us and the culture around us is continually changing. We know that. Continually changing, and the culture, I don't care what anybody says, even as Christians, the culture shapes our lives. There are 70 plus year old people, Uncle Gail, who have smartphones. It's shaping his life. Just because he's an old geezer don't mean he's not part of society. He wants a new smartphone. He's on Facebook. You know all that? Old Gail's on Facebook. putting comments, liking stuff with emojis. That's Gale. So the world shapes us. Whether we want it to or not, it shapes us. We want the flat screen TV you can carry with one hand. Oh, it's so much better than those big, deep things. Y'all are too young to remember, but my God. Remember those TVs that had the back end look like a freight train? The TV screen was that wide, and the back of it was that wide. You couldn't even carry one. My Lord, thing would break your back. Now you can pick a 50-inch screen TV. Mel could pick one up. Not that she's weak, I'm just saying. She could pick up a 50-inch screen and carry it in the house. We are shaped by our culture, not only with things, but with ideologies, with philosophies, with doctrines. We're shaped because we live in this world, and we start second-guessing our own belief system if we're not careful. We start compromising our own convictions if we're not careful. We let other people, whether it's athletes, whether it's music legends, you know, whether it's politicians, whether it's other preachers, we let these leaders and these men of influence or women of influence shape how we perceive things. And so what I'm saying about all this is Naomi must have had something that drew root to her in such a deep way that she wanted to be where her mother-in-law was. She wanted to be where Naomi was. She saw something. So she said, wherever you go, I'm going to go. She goes on to say this. It goes even further in verse 17. She says, where you diest, I'll die. There will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also it might, but death part you and me. Ruth is saying, not only will I follow you to Judah and live with you, but I'm there to stay. I'm committed. I'm committed. Are we committed to God? Are we committed to trusting Him? Are we committed to believing in Him? Are we committed? Look, life happens. We know that. We cannot base every negative effect in our lives as being God's against me or God's doing this to me or why is God allowing this. It's called life. It's called the fallen state of man. We know the world is all messed up. We know that. Creation is messed up. Nothing is in order right now. Nothing is in order. You know, on Star Wars, they're talking about that. How Luke Skywalker was going to be a Jedi. And I remember it had to say in the movie, it says, he will, or maybe Darth Vader said it, one of them said it, bring all things back into order. The Force is with him, and the Force will bring all things back into order. Well, we know that God will bring all things back into order. But right now, it's chaotic. And so in our lives, we go through disappointing times. We go through tragedies. But will we say, Lord, whatever I see, I'll serve you. Whatever happens in my life, I'll serve you. Whoever forsakes me, I'll serve you. No matter what happens in my life, God, I'm going to go where you go, serve you until the day I don't have breath in my body because I'm committed. The reason that so many Christians are yo-yos, and I say that in a very fun, affectionate, loving, merciful way, yo-yo Christians. Man, you're shouting Pentecostal hallelujahs for a month, and then I don't see you for 6 months because you had something in your life happen. What, man, if we base how we serve God on our lives, I wouldn't be here. I'd quit preaching 5 years ago. I would have. I'd have stopped 5 years ago saying, I can't preach no more, can't even control my own son. I ain't about to keep trying to preach. We can't base circumstances that come against us to detach us from following and serving God. God, I don't understand why things happen, but I know you love me. We teach our children that. Yes, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. So if I know Jesus loves me, then I've got to trust that love, even when it don't make sense. Even when I can't see why, even when I don't understand it, even when I'm mad, even when I'm frustrated, even when I'm questioning God, Lord, I don't get it. But if we could cleave to God like Ruth clave to Naomi, cleave to His promises, cleave to His word, cleave to His grace, cleave to His mercy, cleave to who He is, and realizing that our circumstances does not change who God is. And it never will. There's too many people that serve God circumstantially. Things are good, man. They faithful churchgoers. I'm telling you, there's a correlation with this, and I mean this. The people that I do the most counseling with are ones that aren't here in church. It's odd, isn't it? Wow. Because if they were here in church, they're growing and they're hearing. And they're hearing what God is saying, and they're growing in their faith. The Bible says, how can our faith increase unless we hear the word of God? How can we hear unless a preacher sent? Da da da. Y'all know the verse. I'm way off, but y'all know the verse. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. There it is. That's how faith comes. It comes by hearing. I mean, if Melanie's always, think about this. If every day I get up, Melanie's like, James, man, you really look good. I mean, honey, you're hot. I mean, you really are a handsome man. And I hear that every day. Oh, yeah, baby. I'm going to be going through a drive-thru McDonald's. My wife says, I'm handsome. Well, I already know I am, so I don't need to hear it. But what I'm saying is, when she tells me that, oh, it just builds me up. But you know what? She says, man, you need to shave. And I got your hair ain't combed. And what you wearing? You don't even match. And my Lord, gosh, you stomach's hanging over your belt and gain weight. And you ain't the man I married. You know what I feel like doing? Jumping off a bridge. I mean, really? I mean, that's not building my faith. And so the more that we hear things in our lives, we start believing that. My mom was a great encourager in my life. Really was. I mean, it wasn't dad, wasn't, but you know, mom's just that way. And mom was a great encourager in my life. She was a cheerleader in my life. She always promoted me as far as, you know, oh, you're so handsome, son, and you're so smart, and look at my boy carrying them keys at Bilo, and all that. And I mean, she bragged on me. I know dad does too. Men are different than women. They're just, a little bit different the way they do that. But mom was a great encourager. Mom didn't beat me down. She didn't always keep me in this box, suppressed. Well, what happens when we don't hear the word of God is everybody else shapes us. The world shapes us. And we get beat down. But when we hear what God says about us, and I'm pretty sure God is the kind of the top dog, right? The final authority. He's the big wheel. And if I hear what God is telling me and his promises, then all of a sudden I begin to feel different and walk different and think different and believe different. And I really believe that verse where it says, if God's before you, who can be against you? I start actually believing that verse. Not just quoting it. We love quoting verses. But do we believe it? There's a difference in quoting a scripture and living a scripture. There's a difference in believing, believing that God can do something, but actually living as if God is doing something. He said, we are more than conquerors, not through ourselves, but through Christ, which strengthened us. So I got to believe that. God, I'm more. I can overcome this by your power and by your might. I can overcome it. And so I let my faith be built up. Naomi had done something, had such an impact in Ruth's life that she didn't want to let her go. We don't really know the real deal, but some impact she made. Verse 18, when she saw that she was steadfast, Naomi saw that her daughter-in-law wasn't going to leave, steadfastly minded to go with her, she left speaking unto her. So now she's going with her. Verse 19, so they two, Naomi and Ruth, went till they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were all come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? And she said to them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Now that's a whole thing there I could talk about, but we'll go over that tonight. Why call you me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. It's about the end of April is when they arrived. So now they've came. It's the only part we're going to stop with this tonight. She's Ruth for the first time living in Bethlehem. Her and mother-in-law are there together. And then we'll start seeing next Wednesday how God begins to work. That Ruth is not there by accident. I want to challenge you with this. We don't plan our... Dee, when you were 16 years old, you were 15, how old Ashley is. Let's say when you're 15 years old, the life you're living right now, your situation, your circumstances, I mean, just how your life has evolved from 15 to right now is not how you planned it, right? At all. It wasn't how you drew it up in the huddle, was it? It wasn't Omaha 55, right? It wasn't that way. See, God, though, knows that future and what it will be. And God positions us and places us and gives us into our lives things that we wouldn't ever have on our own or maybe design on our own. And Courtney, you gave a powerful testimony, you know, way back up here of your life, and to see where you are today, where you were 10 years ago, you couldn't have drew that up either. I mean, unbelievable, the difference and the change and how God is, and I know this, not a picture perfect, leave it to Beavers, Manly always says, world, but from where you were to where you are, it is in your life. And so we go through hardships, we go through storms, and Manly said this one time to me, and it helped me. And she was talking about a particular situation and a particular person, and she goes, you know, this is the road they have to walk. This is the road God has for them. It's not the road that maybe we would desire, the road that we draw up, or the road that, you know, if we had in charge of drawing the map, here's what you need to do. But God has that road. And the more, that's why I said last week, the more that we see God, as I sit in the office last week, I just felt that so strong, that's why I said it Sunday. When we start seeing God in everything, we will be defeated by nothing. And as we start seeing, okay, God, you mean you're in this? To look back at your life, Courtney, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, God, you're in this? But as you start looking at Him, seeing how He kept you, protected you, where you could have been today with Adam, all of a sudden, yeah, God, you were in that. You were in my tragedy. You were in the darkest time of my life because you brought me out of that darkness. Ruth's about to receive a destiny that she never would have had if she'd have stayed in Moab. If she never would have followed her mother-in-law to another nation, to another country, to another place. If she hadn't have chosen to say, I'm going to go with you, she wouldn't receive the destiny that we're going to read in the next few weeks that she's going to receive. And it changed her whole life. And it's a testimony to all of us that just because we're here now doesn't mean we stay here always. That God can reposition us at any moment, at any time, for something greater that He wants us to walk into. Like most humans, we don't like change. I guarantee every one of you in here have a certain routine of something. May not be an all-day routine, but there are certain things that we have routines of doing. Brush your teeth the same time every night. Get up the same time every morning. Maybe first thing you do when you get up, you know, you hit your alarm clock, you know, you go use the bathroom and, you know, wash your hands. You come out, cup of coffee, put some toast in the toaster, get the paper if you still got a paper. By the way, young folks, they still have newspapers. But if you still got a newspaper, you get that and you read it. Let the dog out, right? Go out on the back deck or the porch. Do your stretch, look outside, you know, while your dog's doing the business, you know, whatever. And come out. You got a routine. Leave the house same time. For some of you, you got a routine on nap time, right? Your nap time, Sunday afternoon, 1:30, you're out like a light to the night. I mean, you're out. That's your routine. And routines are okay. But man, sometimes God wants to shake the routine up. What if Dad don't sleep on Sunday afternoon? You'll call me. What if Dad don't take a nap? He just says, you know what, honey, I feel like going up to Boone today after church. Let's ride to Boone and just make it a night. We're about 11, 12 o'clock tonight. Let's just go make a night. Let's party. Let's eat the Crackle Barrel at 7 o'clock at night. Woo-hoo! Man, that'd be awesome, wouldn't it? Sometimes breaking that routine up is just, you know, is necessary. I guarantee you Ruth's plan was to stay with her husband in Moab and grow old together. But her whole world changed. It's because God was changing her destiny. Sometimes our world changes, but it's because God's changing our destiny. And we wouldn't do it the way God does it because we don't, I say all the time, we don't like the process. We don't like the process. But the process is the channel that God uses to position us to where he wants us. It's a beautiful thing. We'll get back into it next week, chapter 2. And it's a beautiful story of commitment, of mercy, of grace. And as we get to it, you'll see a lot of symbolism of what Christ did for us through this story. And how Ruth's life is going to be blessed because of her obedience and her heart. Any comments tonight? Any questions? I know we're done a little bit early tonight. Do what? You said we go to Cracker Barrel now? Now you want to go to Cracker Barrel? Tim's mind's in the right place, ain't it? We got time for Cracker Barrel. That's awesome. Gail, good to see you back. If you don't know, Gail took a ride to Michigan, drove up there and back all by himself, and stayed a few days up there, and we're glad he's back in town. It's a long ride up there, isn't it, brother? No. He's a young whippersnapper. Ashley, got anything to say, darling? Ashley has a routine, too, after school. She's her mother's child. Sam, you anything to say, man? Good to have you here, man. It really is. Sam's a big part of our lives here. He, at one time, him and Christian, led the teen group, led our teens for a little while, and so he taught Sunday school back there, taught our middle school kids for a while. So means a lot to us. All righty, he grew his wings. He sure did. I know. He's a man. Be a few weeks before mine gets like that, but just hang on. All right. Oh, good comments, right? I know, baby. I know. I'm still smooth, baby. I'm smooth where it counts. I'm a smooth operator. Smooth operator. Oh, man. Let's stand up. We'll close out in prayer tonight. Father, we are so grateful and we are thankful that you do have a destiny for all of us. And we know that destiny is going to be in your kingdom, serving under you, being with you, living with you, forevermore changed, forevermore healed, where death has no more power, disease and sickness has no more reign. We know, God, that we have a destiny that awaits us, that all the gates of hell cannot stop, cannot inhibit from coming to pass. It's a done deal. It's already happened. You've done paid the price, and it is waiting on us to walk into, and we are so grateful. Lord, let us be committed to you. Let us not be conditional Christians, that we are just faithful or serve you or praise you when things are all going great. But Lord, let us serve you every day, love you every day, worship you every day. You change not. And you are in every season of our lives. You're in every storm. You're in every tribulation. You're in every victory. You're in every high and every low of our lives, God. Let us recognize that and see that. Lord, I just pray you just bless each of us. We go our separate ways the rest of the week as we work and travel. And I pray you keep Sam safe as he goes back to Maine this weekend. Keep your hand of mercy upon him. And bless his time while he is here. Thank you for bringing Uncle Gale back to us safe, Lord, from Michigan. And keep your hand upon him as he traveled so far away. And we're just grateful for your hand of mercy in our lives. We give you thanks for all things in Jesus' name. Amen.